It's good to be here to have this opportunity to share our recent research findings. What is presented here would be in print in the Canadian Journal of Public Health in early 2008. We're going to look at breast cancer survival over essentially the past generation in an interesting place, I think, Ontario in Canada, and look at what evidence there is for how advances in breast cancer treatment and survival may have differed or been the same in Ontario's diverse places. There's large urban centers and very remote rural areas. Our group's done a series of international comparisons, essentially comparing Canadian and American systems of care over the past 10 years. We find it instructive and useful periodically to break away from that between group, between country comparison and take a look within country, within group, to see how that instructs us about the operation of a healthcare system. It's akin to, you know, when we look at no population is homogenous on personal characteristics, and we see the utility of looking at gender, differences on ethnicity, etc. So the same is true about this place like Canada is not a homogenous place. You know, it's a very diverse place. So that's what this is about. Thanks. A work like this could not be accomplished without a diversely talented team. I won't run through all their names, but obviously I'm just a representative, a leader, if you will, of this group of interesting and talented people. Administrators, making sure we have high-quality data, geographers, human medical geographers, epidemiologists, biostatisticians, and practitioners, medical and surgical oncologists, all represented on our team. Okay. Why study breast cancer in this social work section? And we think it's a sentinel indicator of a healthcare system's performance for a number of reasons, or an interesting sentinel indicator, not the only one. First of all, it's relatively common over the life course. Effective screens, including primary care and treatments, exist. That's an important element of evaluation. Timely diagnosis and access to the best available treatments matter when one is seen, and how expeditiously one gets access to what is known to be the best treatment seems to matter very much. There's a lot of evidence on those scores. And excellent prognoses can be expected with early diagnosis and effective treatment. So long survival and a high quality of survivable life can be expected. And so that's another kind of, you know, hoped for indicator of a sentinel outcome. Thanks. Let's take a look at the historical political Canadian context over the last 20 years. I think it's interesting. There's been a significant uptake and advancement of breast cancer screening and increasingly effective treatment in Canada as elsewhere. You're probably familiar here with anecdotes about the Canadian healthcare failures. There's long waits. There's scarce resources, physicians and equipment. There aren't enough MRI machines, CAT scanners, etc. There's substantial anecdotal evidence on those scores. Some surveys have suggested increasing dissatisfaction with the healthcare system in Canada. And there's a political, increasing, burgeoning political rhetoric advocating American-like private enterprise solutions to these woes. Our research group with this and other studies essentially aims to put these kinds of political notions and common wisdom to empirical test. We'd like to know what the evidence is. Let's briefly look at the historical scientific context over the past 20 years. In the mid-1980s to the early 1990s, there's a series of metropolitan analyses in Canada. And it was very, very interesting. It's standing in stark contrast to some American studies, for example, where there was no observed socioeconomic gradient. The very wealthy, the very, very poor, did pretty much the same. There was some equivocation of this consistent finding over time. But the basic question that this question will, or this study will get at is, has socioeconomic equity been maintained? Later in the late 1980s to mid-1990s, there was some provincial analyses. Interesting, but problematic. Essentially taking the entire province of Ontario, for example, all the diverse places, and getting one average finding. And there was a suggestion of some modest socioeconomic gradient. But one might wonder, you know, with all these places lumped together, what's going on that's interesting and where is it going on? That's an essential problem of the research literature that this and our series of studies aims to solve. So where are there survival disadvantages, if there are any? The research question, given the significant improvement of breast cancer survival over the past generation, one, has this medical advance been enjoyed equitably by women across Ontario's diverse places, very small to very large cities, towns and villages, rural and remote places? And can personal economic levels explain any observed place disadvantages? So we want to see, you know, akin to this well-known socioeconomic disadvantage in the U.S., if there are similar kinds of patterns in Ontario. The methods? A straightforward strategy will be employed. There's biostatisticians on the team, all kinds of underlying assumptions. It's in print in early 2008. It'd take me a half an hour to go through it today. Essentially, we're going to take a look at a contemporaneous recent cohort of women with breast cancer and their experience in the system and compare it to one from the mid-1980s. A recent cohort as compared to a more antiquated cohort. The sample design, again, quickly, we use data from the Ontario Cancer Registry of the Association, the North American Association of Central Cancer Registries evaluates registries for validity. It's known to be of high validity. It meets their gold standard of validity. It is known to be one of the most valid, comprehensive, complete databases for cancer care in the world. Next, we observed the experience of nearly 30,000 women, adult women with primary invasive breast cancer. So from this point forward, statistical power on most of these is a non-issue. We're going to be more interested in practical, policy, clinical significance rather than P-levels and confidence limits. They're all in the scientific reports, but it's really not a big issue. Places that we're going to look at have been defined by Stats Canada and Health Canada, not by our research team, and it provides a measure of comparability to the other research in the field. When we do look at measures of income status, there's census-based measures of low income, akin to the U.S. poverty measures, and they've been known demonstrably. There's a substantial research literature by Krieger and others to show that these census tract-based measures are the most predictive in the field. The places that we're looking at, just take a look, just get a sense, a feel for the diversity of this place, one large province in Canada, you know, from this megalopolis of 5 million people to very remote places removed from central cities by more than 300 kilometers, and every other kind of place in between, mid-sized cities, small cities, towns and villages. This study essentially wonders if the benefits of the Canada Health Act, universal access to medically necessary care, have been enacted similarly across Canada's diverse places, Ontario being one such interesting place. You can go right past that. Thanks. There's lots of models, logistic regression and proportional hazards. It comes down to essentially this as the study's central findings. This is looking at five-year breast cancer survival advancement essentially over the past 20 years, the mid-1980s to the present. Number one, overall, and comparable with other developed nations, five-year survival rates have improved by 20% during this study period. And anything that's not marked in yellow is not significantly different. So all the way from cities like Toronto, mid-sized, smaller cities, towns, villages, even these remote places, none of them differed significantly on this breast cancer survival advancement. So substantial, consistent uptake of this new advancement in care. Only one place, very small cities, which account for 6% of the women with breast cancer in Ontario, did not enjoy such advancement. It's an interesting and very important finding, but it contextualizes what's going on rather than, you know, the sky is falling all over. There may be some more specific effects in specific kinds of places, like small cities. Interestingly, though, within this small city, there's no socioeconomic gradient. So whatever's going on there is not probably due to personal economic resources. In fact, one potentially very vulnerable place, extremely remote places, removed, remember that definition was more than 300 kilometers removed from central cities, showed much greater advancement over the past 20 years. So something very good was happening in those places, and their survival experience did not differ significantly from a place, a resource wealthy area like metropolitan Toronto. Next, please. Thanks. I'm going to go past this one today for the interest of time, because that was the central finding. In summary, women with breast cancer in nearly all of Ontario's diverse places have equitably enjoyed contemporary survival advances. Small inequities seem unrelated to personal economic resources. We think the most likely explanations for such remarkably equitable advances seem to be Canada's single-payer, universally accessible healthcare system. Now, but other things, there are some things that we're interested in going on here. There's some complexity, there are some devils in some details, for sure. What about community resource, healthcare service endowments in areas? What may account for the observed pattern of relatively better or worse survival in certain specific places? Let's take the extremely remote areas. Cancer Care Ontario instituted screening and treatment outreach in remote areas in the 1990s. So for the past 15 years, there's rural, remote screening, treatment, outreach to Aboriginal communities, far outlying communities. There's mobile units. A lot of resources were invested in that, and there's some suggestion that's been very effective. One might wonder, because remember, that's 1%. That was 1% of all women with breast cancer live in those kinds of areas, and they're doing quite well in Ontario. Would a profit-driven enterprise do the same to serve only 1% of the population? One could wonder. Small cities, accounting for 6% of the breast cancer cases. Advocates have suggested long waits secondary to resource problems, physicians and equipment. We think it plausible, and it's more interesting to us to think about these kind of vulnerable places. Small cities may have specific resource problems. That's a lot more useful than we just need more physicians, more equipment. Where, how much? And so we think the approach of examining these specific effects will be helpful. And so our group, as future research, is going to continue on with this within-country analysis and the between-country analysis. And what we've developed, it's just about completed as a resource. Some here may be interested in it. We're looking at breast cancer and colon cancer, large samples in diverse places across California and Ontario. It's going to be retrospective and prospective. We're going to include personal and community resources, primary wait times, primary care resources such as physician supplies and nursing supplies, and investigative and treatment equipment, radiation treatment, CAT scanners, MRIs, etc. We hypothesize that community resources will be more predictive in Canada and personal resources more predictive in America. We think this is going to be not only enable us to develop practically useful knowledge about specific healthcare resource needs in specific places. We'll be able to, we think, cost out, exactly to get optimum benefit, what kinds of physicians are needed where, and what might we do to provide those resources, how many more CAT scanners are needed and where, that kind of information. But it will also help us to pose other provocative policy interesting questions. For example, I'm going to just provide you with one preliminary finding, then sit down. We'll talk to you more about it next year or in print over the course of this year. Preliminarily, we're looking at this database. We've observed that waiting lists, and we have information from California, very diverse places in California, very diverse places in Ontario. Waiting lists, this so-called Canadian phenomenon of not being able to get care when we need it. We simply looked at the lowest socioeconomic third in California and Ontario and looked at weight. And lo and behold, in a statistical sense and a practical sense, waits are much, much longer in California than they are in Ontario. So it's hard to see that in the closed doors of maybe 20 healthcare providers in an area. It's very transparent and easy to observe in Ontario. So I look forward to continuing the story, presenting more details about that with you next year. Thanks.